Thank you for being here. A couple weeks ago, we started a series called Hope Hill 101. We are getting ready to celebrate our one-year anniversary, and we kind of wanted to end this year basically making sure that everybody who is here over these few weeks are on the same page together. And by page, I do mean that we have pages for you. So if you look on your chair, you'll find a booklet called Hope Hill 101. This one is different than the one we've had out the last 2 weeks. We finished part one over the first 2 weeks, and today we're going to get into part two, and it's going to be impossible for me to get through all of this in one day. So we will get through as much as we can today, and then coming back in a couple weeks, we will continue this. We will pause next week. We're going to be looking, and I challenge you, you write this down in your notes, read 1 John chapter 4 this week. 1 John chapter 4, just in your own personal time or before you go to bed one night, just read through it and ask God just to start to open your heart. 1 John chapter 4 is where we're really going to be focusing next week on looking at how God is love and how if we are truly following God, how love will invade our life and change us into the people God has made us to be. So read that, 1 John chapter 4, and you'll be ready to even get up and probably teach. I can sit down and have one of you guys teach. So thank you. Read through that. It's going to be a great week. And then we'll come back to whatever we don't finish in this the week after that, most likely. Okay, so I want to also let you know in advance that we are getting ready to enter into a time of year that some recognize as an Easter preparation time, a time called Lent. How many of you have ever been through Lent type things? Yeah. Good number of you come from backgrounds that recognize that time of year. During that time of year, we're going to be teaching on what are the important principles that come out of Lent. And we're going to be really just asking God to prepare our hearts for the full understanding of what Easter is really all about. It's weird to think Easter is right around the corner, but it's going to be here before we know it. And I want to personally invite you to take a little bit deeper dive into who God is during the season. Some of you have even taken a step of fasting. How many of you have set aside like chocolate or soda or something like that during a period of Lent? Any of you? Okay. So what is fasting all about? What does it mean to set something aside? And we're going to be talking about that. And I'll just let you know right now, and I'm sure many of you know this, that Lent isn't a time of necessarily, you know, putting something aside, but really it's a time of taking something on. And sometimes setting something aside helps us to be more disciplined to take something extra on. And so I want to encourage you to take some steps. With me, I'm going to be doing a study, a 40-day study called A Call to Die. I know many of us don't want to think about being called to die and what that means. But I've picked up a book. You can get it on Amazon.com. Some of the teachings during those weeks I'm going to pull right out of that book. It's a day-by-day journaling journey through this workbook, where each day you'll wake up, you'll read some passages of Scripture, some reflective thoughts, and really ask God to kind of show you on the inside where you are in your walk with Him. So I encourage you. I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be starting it, I think, Ash Wednesday. What's the date for Ash Wednesday? It's coming up soon. I'm sure someone, when you find it, let me know. Look it up on your, is it next Wednesday? Okay, so confirm that for us. But anyways, I'm going to be starting that study. Ash Wednesday is basically 40 days before Easter, and it will be a 40-day journey. And you might have something else you'll consider doing. We'll be talking about that more over the next couple weeks. So thank you guys for being here. Hope Hill 101, let's dive in. All right, some basics just to kind of help you fill in blanks. Again, there's no way we're going to get through all this material today, so I encourage you, especially if you're filling in blanks, to hold on to your sheet, and we'll come back soon and work on what we don't finish today. God, right now I ask that you just take the teaching today, that you help me to speak it right, that your Holy Spirit drive it into the depths of our soul. God, reveal to us areas where you want us to move in response to what we're hearing. And God, just bring your scripture that's shared today alive. Make it alive in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, a summary of who we are real quick. Hope Hill 101 Part 2 starts off with a reminder of why we exist as a church. right there. The purpose of Hope Hill Church is this. We exist, one, to glorify God. Number two, to transform lives, to have our lives transformed, and to be about transforming other lives. And that's, we call this whole process discipleship, and to impact the world around us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not called to be, you know, building a building and hiding away and being removed from all the polluted, sinful things in the world. God put us here to be in the world, not of it, but in it, and bringing transformation to it as we shed God's love and spread His light. So, we exist to glorify God, transform lives, and impact the world. This comes out of the Great Commission, Jesus' final words to His closest followers, recorded in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus said to them this, "Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them everything that I have taught you, and surely I will be with you even to the very end of the age." So what is making disciples all about? Before we started Hope Hill 101, we started off the beginning of the year with a study on spiritual disciplines. The first week I talked about was prayer. If you missed that week or any of our weeks, you can go back to hopehillchurch.org and go to our media messages page, and you can listen to past messages if you ever want to go back and catch some of the teaching that you may have missed. The first week we talked about prayer. Andrew did a teaching the second week on Bible study, and we're going to kind of highlight some of the principles we went over this morning. But first of all, making disciples is an important process. Basically, God calls all of us to continue to mature in our faith. Some people have gotten in their mind that if you simply believe, you've arrived. But God wants so much more than just check the box belief. Okay, I believe in Jesus, done, let's go on with life. God calls us to a growing, active, daily relationship with Him where He is pouring into us and we are opening ourselves to Him on a regular basis. Spiritual maturity ends up resulting in us being like Christ. That's one of your blanks there. It's three words on one line that may confuse some of you. Sorry. So I think some of the blanks are going to be on screen eventually. We're working on that? Yeah? Okay. So what is spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is being like Christ. Romans 8:29, the Living Bible version, says this, "For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him should become like His Son." We are called to live like Christ. Yeah, some of you might be thinking, oh, that's impossible. Well, the truth is, it is impossible for us to be sinless and to live a perfect life. But 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He will be faithful and just and forgive us from all sins and help us to walk the next step in righteousness. So we are called to take one step at a time towards holiness, living a life like Christ. Here's some facts about spiritual maturity. First of all, we need to take the time, realize that spiritual maturity is important enough for us to take the time and the trouble to keep ourselves spiritually fit. Comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7. And the truth is anything worth doing will often be hard to do. How many of you have ever had a workout routine? How many of you just found it really easy? Yeah, hopefully your hands went down. You know, because the reason I don't work out is it's too hard, okay? I'll admit it. And it takes too much time for me. And I'm 40 this year, and there are signs warning me that I need to start changing my diet and get in shape, but yeah, it's not about me, right? We'll focus on other things. Anything worth doing, though, even if it's hard, we need to spend the time doing it. Spiritual maturity is no different. We need to. It's not automatic. Number two, it is a process. And number three, it takes discipline. Understanding discipleship. Let's move on. Acts 11:26, the scriptures tell us. Oh, I just lost it. Here we go. Acts 11:26. "For an entire year they met with the church, and they taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Basically, the book of Acts is the very beginning of the church. A couple weeks ago, we looked at Acts chapter 2, and we saw how the closest followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples of Jesus, got out and said, God put us here to spread the word, first here, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And they got up and they shared the message of Jesus Christ. They started living in each other, living with each other each day, sharing with each other as they had need, listening to the apostles' teaching, breaking bread with one another, praying for one another, and God added to their day, each day, those who were becoming Christians, those who were being saved. When the word Christian was first used, it was actually like a curse word. Oh, those are those followers of Christ, those Christians. And the first time that was ever used was in that area called Antioch. What is a Christian? What is a disciple? In America, most people think they're Christians if they believe in God. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. You know, I carry around Bible. Money. It says in God we trust. I said the Pledge of Allegiance. Actually, some places are fighting to cut that out. One nation under God. And so many of us think that Christianity is just simply believing. Living in America makes you a Christian. But that, of course, we know is not true. Being a Christian, we are called to be disciples. Number one, I want you to change that first word. Number one, it says mature believers are called disciples. I want you to change that word mature to maturing. Okay, put an ing there. There are different levels of maturity, and I don't want you to think that one day I'll be a disciple. We want to call each and every one of you, regardless of where you are in your journey with Christ, to consider being a follower of Christ, a disciple of His. I explained years ago that many young children in the Jewish culture were chosen by rabbis to be their disciples. Come, follow me. I'll teach you the old scriptures. And these children would grow up being discipled by a teacher. When Jesus came, He went after the rejects. There were Jewish boys who grew up and they weren't good enough to be chosen by the rabbis to be disciples. They instead became fishermen and tax collectors. And Jesus went to them and said, I want to choose you. Come and follow me. And Jesus today says to you, He wants you to be His disciple. Maturing believers are called disciples. Would you consider yourself a disciple? Number two, the term disciple comes from the word disciplined. It takes discipline in order to be a disciple. It takes discipline. A lot of times I equate that to what my father did to me. Okay? And my dad was an Air Force guy, and I grew up thinking Air Force were the strongest, toughest men. I'm not hearing anything, but no Air Force people in here. And the reason is because the things I would do, some people got spanked. I sometimes wished for spankings, okay? The worst was if my brother and I went to bed and he heard us like laughing or cutting up or jumping from bunk bed to bunk bed. Okay, guys, out in the corner, assume the position. And you know, how many of you make your kids stand in the corner from time to time or a timeout spot, okay? Well, now they sit down. You need to make them stand up. Anyways, we'd have to go to the corner. Instead of just standing there, we had to assume the position where we had to bend over and grab our ankles and stand there. Have you ever held this position for a while? Just try it. No, I'm just joking. You don't have to try it. Okay, so we'd be there, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. What is going on? And my brother would be there for 15, 20, 30 minutes. And Dad would finally say, okay, you've been there long enough, go to bed. So one night, we had been there particularly long. I can't even remember what we did. It was a little worse than normal. And it just went from pain to numbness, okay? And then Dad said, get to bed. So we both, my brother Gary and I, went to get up, and we couldn't. And we're trying to walk, and seeing each other, we start laughing. You think that's funny? Get back in the corner. You know, sometimes taking the steps God wants us to take, getting into His Word regularly, taking everything to Him in prayer, these can be hard things, and sometimes it's easier not to. But God wants us and calls us to do even the hard things, to follow Him. And yes, it will take discipline. Number three, the more like Christ I become, the more God is able to use me. I know many of you are here because you want to be used by God. Well, the more you submit yourself to Him on a regular daily basis, the better instrument in His hands you can become. Number four, the mark of a disciple is cross-bearing. And afterwards, we're going to give out a cross for each of you to take to work tomorrow. What is cross-bearing? When Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said, I just looked at 14:27 and it made me draw a blank. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. And back then, the cross wasn't like some kind of workout symbol. It wasn't some kind of badge of honor. The Roman government used the cross for the most gruesome form of punishment and execution. And there would be times when the Romans would come and they would literally line for miles and miles roadways into towns with crucified victims, criminals on crosses. So back then, when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to be able to pick up your cross, they knew what he was talking about. You might have your very life taken from you if you're going to follow me. And you're going to have to be willing to give up everything in order to follow me. We need to realize, Luke 14:27 says this, Jesus said, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. I thought Christianity was supposed to be easy. You know, you pray for God, he blesses you. He takes care of all your needs. The truth is that God calls us. Jesus said, as I suffered, so will you. And living the life of a disciple is not always easy. And God calls us, though, to realize that it's still worth following him. Number five, how often am I to do this? There you go, Luke 9:23. I knew it was there for somewhere. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Christianity is not just a one time a day, one trip to church a week type of calling. God calls us to follow him each and every day. So how do I become a disciple? We want you to start to discover spiritual disciplines. A lot of times we call these habits. By developing the habits of a disciple, Colossians 3, 9 through 10 says this, you have put off the old self with its habits and have put on the new self, which God is continually renewing in his own image to bring you to the full knowledge of himself. So God calls us. I mean, many of us can look in our life, and real quick, we're into being transparent with each other. Who here would say they have a bad habit? Anybody? Okay, wow. More people admit it than I thought. How many of you want to share what your bad habit? No, I'm just joking. The Bible does say, confess your sins one to another. There are times when we can't break our habits on our own, and we need to get buds, get people in our life who can challenge us, hold us accountable, and sharpen one another. That's the process of discipleship, being real with one another. At the end of our services, we typically have a few people in our room who we ask to pray for others. And we have prayer teams that will stand either in the back of the room. Actually, today they are going to be in the back room. Sometimes it's hard to pray with this speaker right in your ear at the end. You'll see what we're talking about in a minute if you haven't ever tried it. But at the end of our services, we have prayer teams in the back that are there for you to come in confidence and saying, you know, I have this habit or this struggle in my life, and I'd like to ask you just to pray for me about it. The scripture does say, confess your sins one to another. And it doesn't mean that you have to go to a confessional. We can approach the throne of God directly ourselves. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is there waiting for us to bring our requests and our struggles to him, and he intercedes to God on our behalf. But many times, God also realizes that we need each other. If I had a huge weight in my life that I couldn't lift on my own, it'd be kind of like me putting, say, a 200-pound dumbbell, okay, maybe 50-pound dumbbell, okay, on the ground in front of me. And if I were to go up to that dumbbell and try to lift it on my own, 200 pounds, there's no way I could do it. I might be able to budget a little, but if I call on Mike and Jim to come on up here with me and say, hey, I've got this burden in my life I can't lift on my own, and they lent a hand, we could handle it together. And that's why we're here for each other, to come to each other, to help each other with our habits in our life. Not only get rid of bad habits, but to put on new habits and good habits. That's why in workouts, it's good to have a partner, somebody to be there not only to pick up the weight off your chest when your arms collapse, but to be there to encourage you. You know, one more, give me one more. That's where we're to be there for each other. So the definition of habit, let's move on. A continual, often unconscious inclination to do a certain activity acquired through frequent repetition, an established disposition of the character. And so we want you to get into the process, not where Christianity becomes simply routines, because that's the last thing we want. The last thing we want is you to somehow get a sheet of what does it mean to be a Christian? Go to church once a week, check. Read the Bible every day, check. It's not about lists and box checking. It's about a relationship. But that relationship, if your relationship with God is growing, then you will see certain appetites grow in your life. I want to get to know my God more. I want to spend time in His Word. I want to take my struggles, my pressures, my praises to Him in prayer. And so we want to help you discover what those spiritual habits can be. So the first one we talked about, that we'll talk about this morning, is the one Andrew taught on, Bible study and prayer. The purpose that this represents is we want to glorify God. How can we glorify God if we don't know anything about Him, if we don't know Him? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Living Bible version, says this: "The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out. It helps us do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone." So how do I get more from my Bible? Well, first of all, you got to realize that we must accept its authority. That's blank number one. Your attitude towards the Bible makes a huge difference. And we're going to do a series called Text in a few months on where do we get the Bible? How do I understand the Bible? Why is the Bible important? And we're going to answer all those questions. But as I've said before, you don't have to know everything about the Bible in order for it to give you the benefit that it's there to give. In the same way I go and eat a good, well-balanced meal, I don't know how my body breaks it down. I don't know how my cells process the nutrition that's there. I simply eat, sometimes too much. But the body does what it does on its own. It's kind of a natural process. In the same way, the Bible is living and breathing and sharper than any two-edged sword, the Word of God says. It's able to cut through the junk in our life, right down to the bone in our life. And so the Bible, as we spend time in it, God's Word comes inside us and transforms us from the inside out. The first thing we do is we accept its authority. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this: "We also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the Word of men, but actually as it is the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe." The Scriptures will come alive in you as you spend time in them. We believe in a closed canon of Scripture. I don't have time to get into all this today. We're going to do this in our series called Text. But we believe that the Bible, in its entirety, is inspired by God. We believe that in its original context and its original form, it is without error. And when there are many different versions of the Bible, a lot of times you'll be looking, reading along, or you'll see on the screen a different wording. And as we have translated it over years, we've kind of changed translations without losing the meaning. And so we'll talk about that more in our series as well. But we want you to get used to realizing that the Bible is important. It's God's Word to us, and it is there for us. It's not a book that should simply collect dust on yourselves, but should be used each and every day. A great way that you can use the Bible is one of my favorite apps. What's it called? YouVersion. If you don't have that app, if you have a smartphone or an iPad or even just a home computer, you can download or use this website. It has great daily devotional reading plans, a lot of great resources in it. Tony Dungy, in honor of Super Bowl Sunday, Tony Dungy just released a devotional he personally wrote on YouVersion. It's a great way for you to have it electronically with you wherever you go. Most of us carry a phone, and you can have the Word of God with you if you've got your phone. Number two, I must assimilate its truths. I must assimilate its truths. We do this in a couple ways. First of all, we do it by hearing God's Word. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. That's why it's important for us to gather together with those who may know a bit more about Scripture than ourselves. But don't just simply take their word for it. Even myself, I challenge you to go home, and if anything I say ever sounds fishy or a little off, you know, write it down. I got to check on this one. And go back to the Word of God itself. And if you find something in there that makes you go, that doesn't jive what John taught last Sunday, let me know. Because, I mean, we're here to keep each other in check. But put yourself in situations where you can hear the Word of God taught. And I don't know if any of you podcast, but there are some amazing teachers out there. You don't have to wait for a Sunday morning to hear a good message. I listen to some of my favorites are one guy named Matt Chandler out of the Village Church. He's a great person to listen to on podcasts. Another favorite of mine is Mark Driscoll. Both of them, if you want to listen to a message, if you think I teach and preach long, be prepared for like a 55-minute message every time they speak. But it's just some good depth there. So hearing God's Word is important. B, reading God's Word. Reading God's Word. Take time. Revelations 1:3 says, happy is the one who reads this book and then obeys what is written in it. How often should I read God's Word? Again, I'm not here saying that if you don't read it every day, you're not a good Christian. I'm not saying that at all. But we should get into the habit of daily doing things that are important and spending time in God's Word daily. Does that mean you should read an entire book or spend an entire hour? No. Sometimes I'm in God's Word just a couple minutes a day, just going back and looking at a verse that I need for that day and spending time. But each day I'm going back to God's Word and just reading from it. You eat daily, most of you, right? You eat physical food? Well, think about that in a spiritual sense. We need spiritual food on a daily basis as well. And I can already tell that we are not going to get very far this morning. So we'll just keep going. Here we go. It is to be with him, and it is to be daily. This emphasizes why we should read it daily. Deuteronomy 17:19 says this. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord, his God, and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. C, let me fill in these blanks for you. We need to study God's Word. D, we need to memorize God's Word. E, we need to meditate on God's Word. What's the difference? Studying God's Word is not just simply reading over it and then thank you, God, for that, but to really taking time, maybe even getting a good reference Bible. There are many Bibles out there that will help you get a little deeper. You read this passage of Scripture, and if you're reading any from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you might say, well, Matthew and Mark wrote about this, but Luke and John didn't. Let me compare the same story in both of those and see how they're different. If the group of us went outside and saw a car accident and we were interviewed over what we saw, we may have all seen the same thing but have slightly different stories, but all be telling the same truth, you know what I mean? And so sometimes seeing the same story in Scripture from different perspectives will help you get a better perspective. That's where we begin to study God's Word, memorizing God's Word. How many of you can sing your favorite song right now without even looking at lyrics? Yeah, a lot of us, we memorize. We hold on to words that mean something to us or that have a catchy tune or that, you know, are special to us for some reason. God's Word is something we should start to memorize so that we can pull it up in times of need. And meditating on God's Word. There are a lot of times when I'm in a hard situation and I know I'm getting waved at in the back saying I've got 2 minutes left, so somebody pull out a beeper and beep me when I'm supposed to quit. Here we go. We are supposed to meditate on God's Word. Does that mean we sit around and do some Eastern meditation and hum? No, but we take God's Word and the truths of His Word, and as we walk through our day-to-day life, we have those thoughts. We allow ourselves to be open to His thoughts. And as we go through circumstances, we think, God, what would You do in this situation? God, help me to recall truths from Your Word that will guide me. Help me to have focused thinking about the Bible, about the principles I learn in the Bible. All right. Here we go. We need to receive God's Word with an open heart, and then we need to apply its principles. Receiving God's Word is important. Accept it. To welcome it. Sometimes you'll read something in the Word of God, and you're like, man, that goes against what I enjoy doing. And if you come across parts like that in the Scripture where God's Word may be leading you to do something, my hope and prayer is that you'd say, okay, God, help me to understand this first of all. Is this telling me I need to do something different? Is this telling me I've done something wrong? Help me to understand it. And I would encourage you, as some of you have done. In the Bible, does it say I can't do this in life? Because sometimes we've been misconceptions by what other Christians have told us that are in the Bible, but it's a weird interpretation of Scripture, you know what I mean? And so it's good to go back to the Word itself, to look at it, to see why certain things are said, and to then receive it if it's truth. And as we receive it, we then apply it. The Bible says in James, is that there? Do not merely listen to the Word of God and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. I must apply its principles to my life. All right, I'm going to kind of wrap us up today before we get into, we'll summarize prayer. And there's just so much good stuff. We shouldn't just fly through it. But I want you to turn to page 10 with me real quick. Starting in page, 11. I'm sorry, 9. Does 9, the top of 9, say connect with others? Bottom of 8. Okay, your printed version may be different than my digital version. Connect with others. I want you to look through these pages on your own over the next couple days. We want you to realize that a church is a place where you're to get connected. You're to get plugged into different things. And that is a great way. Yes, we're supposed to read God's Word and apply it to our lives, but we're also supposed to live and work and act and breathe and connect with one another. And so we want you as a disciple to be taking on spiritual habits, learning how to be in God's Word, learning how to pray for one another and take your own prayer requests to God, and then putting into action in our community and in our gatherings. And to be honest, as a young church, we need you. I mean, even as we grow older, we'll still need you. But there are several areas. I mean, every Sunday we come in at about 8:30. There's a crew of us that show up to set up, to tear down. There are people throughout the week that help prepare meals, like Linda's helping us do with Allie Lester this week, caring for each other. There are things that we do in our community and providing care items for families who can't get by on their own. And we want you to realize that you are the body of Christ here. And if Hope Hill is the place where you're to be connected and this is to be your church home, then we invite you to get involved in growing as a disciple through spiritual habits, but also putting yourself into action, looking at where God has blessed you, where He's shaped you, where He's molded you, and where He's making you. I don't know why I just had to make that rhyme, but I just had to. So we want you to discover how God wants to use you. We are to be connected with one another, used by Him. And so I want to encourage you to look at those couple pages alone. Also, look at this page right here. During our closing, we're going to have about 10, 15 minutes of closing worship. And the band's saying, not if I don't shut up. So during that time, I want you to pray and say, God, some of you have been here. You've heard this stuff a few times. And you're just kind of waiting for God to reveal to you what's next for you. Well, here's some next steps, some tangible ways you can get involved at Hope Hill Church. This sheet shows you areas where we have needs each and every week. Holding babies, teaching young ones, setting up and tearing down, running sound. Maria is back there. I think this is her first day running sound for us. Maria, you're doing a great job. Thank you. We need each of you, not just making things happen here on a Sunday, but throughout the week. And so if you're interested in feeling like God wants me to take another step in discipleship towards Him, sometimes just get busy joining Him in work is a great way to do that. So I want to encourage you to pray through this list. Think about these things. We want to keep stretching you, challenging you, and helping you realize that God wants me to grow, God wants me to be more like him, and this is a home and a community where I can start to do that. It's also a place where you can bring real questions, real doubts, real searching hearts, and saying, you know what, I don't even know if I believe there's a God. We're glad you're here, because we want to help you in that journey of discovery. And if you let us be a part of your life, we want to help you learn what it means to be a true follower of Christ and to receive his love in ways you've never seen before. So as we bring our service to a close, our worship band is going to lead us in a time of worship. My hope and prayer is that you allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you during these moments. If there is an area of life that you want to be prayed for, we'll have prayer teams actually in the back today. Get you a little bit further away from the sound of the stage. And you can just go in the back and say, you know what, I don't even know what I want to pray for. Will you just pray for me? And they'll pray over you. Or if you want to give them specifics, they'll pray for you. I'll also be up in the front here if you want to pray with me about something. During our time of worship, we also take time to remember what Christ has done for us. And as a community, we invite the believers, the followers of Christ, to remember how this is all possible because Jesus died on a cross for us. His body was broken and his blood was shed to forgive us of our sins and to offer us forgiveness and to show us what it means to truly lay down our lives for one another. And Christ calls us to remember that. So as you today allow God to speak to you, we invite you to also come as you feel led to the front where we will have bread broken for us as a reminder of Christ's body broken for us. Juice as a reminder of the blood that was shed for us. And we invite you to come and to take a piece of bread, to dip it in the juice to remember what Christ did for us. Again, respond as you feel led. And during this time of worship, pray. My biggest request is that if you're ready to start a journey with Christ, let him know. Just call out to him during this worship time. Say, God, I want to follow you. I don't know exactly what that means, but I open up my life to you. I receive your forgiveness. Forgive me for my own ways. Help me to follow you and enter into this journey with him. You won't regret it. Come if you want prayer. Most importantly, again, just respond as you feel led by God. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the life that you call us to live as we follow you. And God, I pray that you show us, each of us, how we can take our next step with you. God, as long as we're here on this earth, we'll never fully arrive. But God, you continually are there to walk with us through this journey, pulling us one step closer to you, making us one more step closer to the likeness of yourself. So God, I pray your Holy Spirit move during this time. Move in our hearts. Help us to surrender areas where we need to surrender. Help us to grab onto things that we need to grab onto. Move in us, God. In your name we pray and ask these things. If you feel led to stand as we worship, you're welcome to. If you want to sit there and pray, feel welcome to do that. Move as you feel led. Thank you for being here. Let's worship our God together.